There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. 251-343-0106. Gets you through. 251-343-0106 with 55 hours a week of live local shows around here. You may need that number. And, you know, 7 days a week, live shows, weekends, live shows. All kind of subjects, all kind of different hosts on these shows. So keep it handy. You might want to chime in on a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning or a Wednesday afternoon, whatever. Keep that text line and phone line handy, 251-343-0106. All right, we get my buddy on here. Of course, y'all know him as the man over at AL.com, John Sharp. Some of y'all know his prowess as a pickleballer out there. But our conversation here in the last few minutes was a video I was watching from his vacation. Also doing, you know what you could have done, John, if you'd have done like the documentary narrator voice over the video of the bear pulling the garbage out there in Pigeon Forge, that would have been something.
Thanks, Sean. I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, you know, a little National Geographic style video. We got several videos that I'll have to post up on my Facebook page. Maybe I'll throw a few out there on X. We had a lot of fun with some free entertainment, unexpected entertainment in our neck of the woods where we were staying on our little vacation in the Smoky Mountains. But yeah, they say don't feed the bears. Sometimes the bears come and feed themselves. They just have to look over the stupid tourists who keep the garbage unlocked and have fun with that. But yeah, there was it provided entertainment. The kids enjoyed it. We kept a safe distance, and there you go. I was able to shoot some video. I had my camera with me, and it took some good videos of that experience. You never know when you go on vacation with the family what you may encounter. And that was unexpected, a free little vacation. You know, one of the things about that area up there, they have you can go pay $3 or $4 to come see the bears that are, you know, at a certain store or something like that. But you know, we didn't have to worry about that on this trip.
As you can see here, the native black bear, Ursus americanus, moves through its natural habitat between the subway and the saltwater taffy stand, makes its way to its normal food source, which is a garbage can in Pigeon Forge behind a pancake house. Something like that.
Something like that,
yeah,
yes.
Just like
it. Yes. It was highly entertaining, and all I can say is that given what... the amount of people that were in our house, there's plenty of food and beverages for the bears to enjoy. It was a mama bear and two cubs, so even more fun to watch that.
There you go. Expect that coming up on the socials for our buddy John Sharp. You imagine my frustration, though. You took this vacation, and we didn't even get to talk in depth about, well, the subject you and I, how long have you and I been talking about the bridge?
Well, that's the 15
thing. 15 years?
You and I could go on vacations for the next 15 years and come back and still get back to the point. But yeah, that's been going on for about 15 years. It's one of the, what we call the greatest hits.
You know, that is.
And the train actually became, that kind of rolled off. Mm-hmm. You never know when it may come back, but it rolled off. So one of the biggest hits right now is the I-10 project. Yeah, that's probably the biggest of the big, given the dollar amount. So that's... Yeah,
and you and I have been watching it long enough to have watched the dollar amounts climb, watched the cost climb. I said, I remember one time, now it's been a long time ago,
we're talking about an $800 million or $850 million project. There was some gnashing of teeth when they talked about a bike lane, and that was going to cost, I don't know, $8 million or something like that, which is chump change these days, to the point we're looking at just the bridge portion at $3.2 billion.
Correct. The bridge is now $3.2 billion. That would also involve, yes, restriping of the bayway back to that. If you can remember where we're at, probably about 5 years ago, we were talking about the truck toll. Remember that?
I do.
That was removed due to constitutional concerns over interstate commerce issues. But it was at one point we talked about a truck toll, which would involve a three laning of each direction of the bayway. Well, we're not at the truck toll anymore, but we're back to the three laning of the existing bayway. That's where we're at right now. So you got a $3.2 billion bridge, restriping of the bayway where we go from, you know, the two lanes going eastbound, the two lanes going westbound. Now we would have a total of six lanes. And that would take, there would be some interchange improvements involved as well, and Daphne, of course, the interchange improvements as you are in Mobile as well, as you approach the new bridge. There would be a lot of work that would have to be done there. But that's kind of where we're at. Yeah, a massive, massive project.
Yeah, something, you know, I've talked about that, like you said, in the past about the restriping, but it came back up, and we're talking about it here on the show. And people said, where are they getting the lanes from? And I forget if they were going to use both of the emergency lanes or just one side of the emergency, how they were making three out of two and still having a way to get emergency vehicles out onto the bayway.
Well, you know, you'd be driving, it would, you know, exactly how narrow the
yeah, that's what we need is more narrow lanes out there, because with the lanes as they are, people run into each other out there. But
I mean, narrow lanes in a lot of areas throughout the country. This would be another example of that, of where we're looking at here going in the future with the existing bayway. You know, the bottom line is that to demolish the existing bayway and build a new bayway, it's about a 7.5 mile new road would be, and that would be both lanes. That somewhere exceeding $5 billion, and that just is not in LDOT's, that's a project that apparently cannot be financed right now. And so instead of waiting in perpetuity for this project to get the financing it needed, from my understanding, you know, various heads got together in Washington, D.C., and were able to come to the piecemeal, the phased-in project, that's been favored by other politicians in the past, but has never gone anywhere because it's always been this one-size-fit-all project, this bridge and bayway project. Now mm-hmm. We're just talking about the bridge. The bayway is still out there, apparently. That's, you know, building a new bayway is still out there. That's something that, you know.
Weren't we told that it was like it was getting towards its end of life? For the bayway, remember, yeah. I mean, you and I've been doing that, y'all. John, I've been doing this so long. We've talked about all these different. But I remember them saying, "Oh yeah, we got to redo the bayway because at X number of years, you can't keep repairing it. You got to replace it or something."
Well, the concern is also with the ability to withstand future storms, and I think that's one of the big concerns with the existing bayway. That's why they wanted it elevated and fortified and ready to go for whatever may embark in the future, and that. And there are certain federal standards for that as well. There is something called the AASHTO standards, and that's an acronym. I don't have the full name right now, but that's something that road construction, state road construction departments follow to the T, these standards. And the standard is essentially that this bayway would need to be elevated to meet, you know, a federal standard for funding for projects of this magnitude. However, you know, the Trump administration has taken a look at that and said, you know, we're going to do this in two pieces in order to get this moving forward. And do not worry about the bayway right now, but we'll come back in 5 years and revisit the bayway project after the bridge is built. So it's a two-phase project in order to be able to fund this. Largely, the reason why I keep saying in order to fund this is 49% of this project is going to be heavily leveraged on borrowing through the mm-hmm. TIFIA loan process, a low-interest loan. So, you know, there are federal grants that have been dedicated for this project in the past. We've gone over that. These have been announced over the years. There's a $250 million set aside by the state. So there's government funding set aside for this, but still the lion's share of this is through borrowing. And that and the borrowing is going to be paid back through the tolls, which is the great controversy of our time.
Yep.
But that's kind of where we're at.
That's what I wanted to get to as well, is get your reaction that we're back to toll. You know, I told folks that the way I was told, T-O-L-D, about this is it wouldn't be built without tolls. This next, you know, here comes this iteration. They roll out the different tolls and the fast pass or whatever in this. And you didn't hear, I'm not talking about regular rank and file folks, but from politicos and all that, you didn't hear the uproar that you and I saw way back when, right? When Ivy said, I mean, I haven't seen the anti-toll movement everywhere on social media, ringing my phones constantly, the politicos lining up to be against the toll. I'm not seeing that now.
That's correct. I pointed that out in one of my articles that I wrote last week. And I think that's to be noted. I think it's a different environment right now. I remember leading up into the announcement of the toll plan, there was a lot. It was almost getting fever pitched on social media. And you wonder what was going on here, but it was a hot issue. There was a lot of focus on it. There weren't other issues out there that were distracting people. This was, people were really locked in on this, especially here in the coastal Alabama area. You had a couple of city, there was actually a town hall meeting, if I can recall. Mm-hmm. It was over at Five Rivers Delta Resource Center, and that drew a big crowd, and there were state senators and state representatives there. There was a lot of folks that were in attendance at that meeting, and it was coordinated largely by the Common Sense Campaign, which...
Yep.
It's still out there, but it's not as, I would say, as out there visually as it has been in the past, publicly as it has been in the past. And so going into the announcement of the tolls, you had a lot more organization, a lot more opposition that was forming at that time. Going into this recent announcement, it's still there on Facebook, but that's about the extent of it. I have not heard of any town hall meeting. Now, that's not to say that something might not come down the pipe. That may happen. We still have the MPOs, the Metropolitan Planning Organizations, and they meet, and this would be, the meetings that folks that oppose the toll plan would want to go to. I mean, I'm just not aware of any big widespread, pitchforks coming to a meeting type of an event. Again, not to say that won't happen eventually. Again, this is a project that is going to keep going on for a while. So this is an issue that's going to be out there.
I wonder if that energy doesn't move. Here's my segue. That energy we saw back then may be eaten up a little bit by the push against data centers. You know, the data centers are the new subject like the anti-toll was back then.
Well, you raise a good point, because one of the biggest opponents of tolls and one of the organizers of the opposition movement was Jim Ziegler. Who parlayed mm-hmm. that into running for auditor, he was auditor at the time, I believe. And he was in a position of state authority. He's running. He's actually the Republican nominee for one of the public service commissioner seats. And he'll be running in the general election for the public service commission. And his focus is on data centers right now. That seems to be kind of where a lot of that energy is at. The populist energy right now is focus on data centers more than on tolls. And again, tolls have been out there for a long time. And I think a lot of our local officials have been fairly honest about it. They're like, we can't build this without some sort of tolling. I mean, this is a huge project that's leveraged heavily on borrowing. You have to repay those bonds somehow. That money's got to come from the public. And I hear it a lot from folks. Hey, this is the only portion of I-10 between Jacksonville and, all the way up to the west that's going to have a toll on it. And that's true. However, a big asterisk there, there's a lot of free routes. The free routes are still established. The big difference back in 2019 is that the Wallace Tunnel was going to be tolled.
Mm-hmm.
You were taking that free route, that existing free route off the plate, where the only free route would have been the causeway and the Bankhead Tunnel, and which is, the oldest of the infrastructures out there. But that's no longer the case. All the existing routes are free. The only new toll route would be this bridge that you would take onto the causeway. And so that's or onto the Bayway. So that's kind of where we're at. That's a huge difference. And I think that came to a lot of people's surprise back in 2019. Yours and mine as well. That, hey, wait a minute here. This is, you know, we thought the Wallace Tunnel wasn't going to be told. Oh, no, it's going to be told. And so a lot of people are like, well, are we being told the truth here? And that was, there was also this perception of untrustworthiness towards Aldott at the time about, you know, let's talk about this project and be very transparent about it. And there was a lot of frustrations, I think. And a lot of that's been resolved, I think, largely through the two MPOs, the Mobile and the Eastern Shore MPOs have been, they've been locked in with Aldott since that incident or since 2019 to move forward a project as best as they could. And that's kind of where we're at now.
And read more about the bridge, read more about data centers and a whole lot more. You find John over at AL.com, or if they want to reach out to you on the socials, maybe even catch a video of a bear. How do they find you?
A vacationer chasing the bears. At John Sharp 99.
Hey, welcome home, brother. We'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks, man.
Good, John, and we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 127 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. We'll grab some text here in a second. Also, heads up, if you're thinking about getting out, enjoying your Second Amendment rights, and look for a place to do it. You know, I always talk about my buddies at Stone Arms, Jeff and the crew there, which are a fantastic shop. Great place to go through the process to get your green light from the feds, to be able to shoot suppressed, right? And by the way, lucky for all of us, great selection of silencers, suppressors in stock there. But yes, the process of getting the okay to get one, they got like an online system there. They make it happen very, very quickly. But in addition, I do want to point out this time of year, too, people thinking about getting out, enjoying shooting, and where do you go? Now, state has some ranges. There's some ranges around, but nothing like Silver Creek Range. Now, it's a members-only shooting range, but you can go to their website, silvercreekrange.com, and see about getting signed up and being a member there. Like 16 different ranges out there. I always thought it's cool. You have covered ranges, you have your basic like sight in your rifle range, like a 25 to 200 yard range, but you have covered pistol and rifle ranges, you have tactical ranges, you have rimfire range, so if you just want to go shoot the 17 or the 22, you can do it out there. Also, this is a lot of fun. I kind of got into it in the last few years. If you're a long range shooter, a 1,000 yard rifle range there at Silver Creek Range. So go there, silvercreekrange.com, see what it's all about. They do a flyover here video. You can watch the range video there and see about getting signed up and being a member at Silver Creek Range, or just go ask them when you see them in person, when you go into Stone Arms, which is just about a quarter mile west of Snow on Airport. While you're there checking out what they got going on, say, hey, what about the range? They'll help you out. Or check them out online at silvercreekrange.com or at stonearmsinc.com. All right, text line here. Vince says, what happens in this scenario? We get a storm this year and it wipes out the Bayway, then won't the money and resources appear out of thin air to take care of the new bridge? If so, that's my vote. Let's ride it out. You are correct, Vince. Oh, it says our Bayway's in better shape than the Atchafalaya Bridge. Well, I mean, that's also like being the nicest Nazi, right? I mean, Michael says, here's a great idea that most of the station listeners will love. We should preemptively nuke China, Russia, Iran, and Cuba all at once before they have a chance to nuke Israel or us. That way no one feels left out. So China, Russia, Iran, and Cuba. But then again, those who support this conflict are only 29% of the U.S. population, according to the latest Fox polls. Sean, apparently you and I are oddly some of the 69% of Americans who disapprove. So there you go. All right, coming right back, more Midday Mobile, 251-343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. My buddy Blaine and I were just talking about some summertime stuff, talking about speckled trout fishing, but also an eye towards the fall as people start heading to the woods. And you got tractor packages. You and I have pointed out in the past, too, if you're listening, you know what makes you the person that doesn't have to do all the things on work weekend at the hunting camp? That's when you show up with a tractor, right, Blaine?
That's right. You just stay in the driver's seat, let everybody else do the manual labor.
It's for sure. So tractor packages, give us an example of what would be a, you know, like set us up. Well, you get a what, and then with what, and what comes with the package?
Yeah, so right now we've got all of our Kubota tractors in our compacts and utility size in stock right now. We like to really advertise those as tractor packages because we got so many implements in stock on our lots ready to go with them, and it's perfect size for the deer camps. It's getting that time of the year that everybody's talking about getting ready for deer season. So we've got all these packages in stock. You know, you get the tractor, the front end loader. We've got bush hogs. We've got box blades, tillers, disc, sprayers, seeders, no-till drills. You know, we got the trailers in stock as well. So we inform all this into a package for you. Like I said, they're all on our lots right now. You can come by and see us, or you can give us a call, and we can do it over the phone. But right now is a good time. We're about to be running some specials on our packages, so definitely be keeping an eye out on our website because we'll be posting them there.
Yeah, so, and the website, which I check out with pretty good regularity, you see the new specials out, and also used inventory.
That's right. So we've got a tab up at the top, pre-owned inventory. That's all of our trade-ins and some of our units that we're rolling out of our rental fleet. So whether you're in the market for a tractor, skid steer, mini excavator, side-by-sides, zero-turn lawn mowers, you can find them all right there on our website.
Okay, and also to find you in person, how do they do that?
Well, right here at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale on Highway 59, you can come by and see us Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturdays, 8 till noon. And like I said, visit us online at parrishtractor.com, or you can give us a call at 251-947-4171.
Hey, thanks, Blaine.
Thanks, Sean.
All right, there goes my man at Parrish Tractor. Go see him. Let's get to some text here and get caught up here. Ultra Runner. Let's not fall into the trap of saying the bridge is so big that it requires tolls. It is not. The toll is paying for the remaining $2.1 billion, which, if I amortize that over 30 years, becomes less than 7% of ALDOT's budget. Are we not worthy of 7%? Evidently not. Well, if we had that West Alabama Corridor money, right? Yeah, that and John mentioned the truck part, and I had some conversations, and I don't think anything's... This person didn't tell me that it was the ink was dry, but I called somebody and I said, hey, with this new number for the regular toll, right, the $7, you know, the toll here for just passenger cars, what's it going to be? Is that going to... Because I think it was like 17, 18 bucks before for the truck toll. So because this has moved up, would the truck toll move up? This person told me what they were hearing, it was going to be up in the 20s on the truck toll on that. Let's see. Biggin said, remember the bridge over to Lafayette is 27 plus miles long, all of it elevated, longer than Lake Pontchartrain. Got me thinking about Lafayette. If I could, you know, teleport myself for dinner tonight, you know, let's go to Prejean. Let's go to Prejean tonight, or then pick up some meat over there at A-Bears or something. That'd be nice. I like Lafayette, Louisiana. I like that town a lot. Let's see. Adam said, I've been wondering and trying to find out unsuccessfully what the breakdown is of the $3.2 billion between the bridge and Bayway. Did ALDOT ever say that the $3.2 billion was for the bridge only? As far as I can remember, the plan was always the bridge and the Bayway. Now they tell us they need all of it for the bridge and the associated west side work. Cooper and ALDOT have screwed us again. Where was the transparency? Yeah, and this thing has happened over so much time. You're right, Adam. At first, and you're talking about the numbers crawling up. Honestly, I'm old enough and been doing this long enough. It was an $850 million project. And then they said, oh, remember the bike lane controversy? Then I would add bike lanes. and people were up in arms how much that would cost. And that's child's play now. That has changed. And so, yeah, for everybody to be what Adam's talking about, is the $3.2 billion is for the bridge, right, to leave over there by Virginia, Virginia Street, come over, and then come back into the current bayway. $3.2 billion doesn't get you a new bayway. It gets you the bridge and the associated on-ramps infrastructure there. And then coming on to the bayway that is going to be restriped from two lanes to three, which we got to go back to the conversation. I really don't know what the measurement is, you know, the width of the bayway and the width of the emergency lanes. If you make another lane, how much, you know, do you keep the lanes all the current width and add the extra lane? Do you narrow them down? They had to have thought of this, right? They're going to have at least one side of the bayway have the width to get, not like some little car out there, but a tow truck. We got to have the room to get the tow truck out there, right? They must have gone through, but yeah, you're right, Adam. So $3.2 billion, they used to talk about, and it wasn't even 3.2. Remember, it was like, at that point, $2.6 billion, then $2.8 billion. It was going to be for all of it. But no, now you are correct. It's $3.2 billion just for the bridge. And then the idea would be that they would then, the toll on the bridge would be part of the mechanism to pay for the bayway that would start at a later time. Like this, it's, and I tell you, I think this is a done deal, meaning the tolls, because I have not heard what happened last time, and maybe it's because everybody's worried about data centers, which we could talk about. I haven't heard the pushback. Not saying that you're not pushing back. I'm saying like organized meetings and, you know, not just people going, popping off on social media going, I think that sucks. Well, of course you do. I do too. But I'm talking about organization and then hearing politicos. I've not heard one yet on this station. And maybe I've missed something somewhere, but we talked to a lot of these folks. I've not heard one yet say, oh, I'm going to fight to have no tolls. They're all, the ones I've heard have said, listen, this is what we're getting. The tolls are coming. Oh, yeah, should we let the data centers pay for the tolls? Yeah. Maybe that could work. Let that happen. The data center, we're going to continue talking about this going forward because this is more, you know, this is a populist move here. I think we got to ask some real questions, like not the fact that cattle would become sterile near the data center, you know, all that stuff, raise the temperature 20 degrees. But the questions would be like, will a regular consumer for Alabama Power, and I know we're in a rate freeze till 2029 as per the slicky deal they ran through last year in session, or this last session, I don't have a problem with the freeze till 2029, it's everything else that came with it, but will the regular consumer see a rise after that in their rate because of the additional consumption from the data centers, or will we stay at the same rate? Because if it doesn't do that, then what is the pushback on this? If the power thing is not a, if we won't end up paying more for power because data centers are there, then what is the pushback? I mean, it's not like we don't have heavy industry here. It's been the nature of what we do. And in the area they've talked about, that one at Calvert, there's plenty of heavy industry up the 43 corridor. So I still don't, seriously, this is not rhetorical. I would like, you know, and I'm going to talk to people on the show, continue to talk to people on the show. I want to know I don't like it. I don't like it is not a reason, right? Like I said last week, I don't like the fact that you had the rodeo, Blue Angels, and Blue Marlin Grand Championship all on one weekend. That makes me have to not do some of them. So because I don't like it, there should be a law that changes it and forces them to have them on different dates. That's what it kind of said. If you just don't like data centers, well, but you liked aluminum smelting is okay. Making sheet metal for the auto industry is okay. Chemical
are okay? How is this different? A fair discussion going forward. Probably pick that up on tomorrow's show. Hey, coming back, more of our conversation of veterans in our community. And Mary Lee, she's with Alta Point Health, is going to join me in just a couple minutes.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Good to see Mary Lee with Alta Point. She is not only a psychiatric mental health nurse practitioner, but a U.S. Army vet. And we thank her for her service and continued service. Thank you.
Thank you for having me here.
Yeah, and we talked about this before, but people didn't hear us. How you got in and how you ended up finding yourself in the Army and then in Iraq as well.
Right. So I was already graduated college and was working in the professional field. This was prior to my nursing career. So in 2007, I just decided I wanted to join the Army. So I enlisted in the Army instead of going the officer route, even though I had a degree.
Yeah, so wondering, you graduated already. Yeah. Why didn't you go officer side?
I tell people I wanted to have fun first. And there was nothing at that time I wanted to do as an officer because I wasn't a nurse yet. So I went enlisted and was a photojournalist. And not long after getting out of training, I quickly deployed to Iraq for a year.
Yeah, you know, there are a lot of people that might not have planned on that, right? That
it was not in the plan initially.
No. And next thing you know, you're doing photojournalist work, but you're doing it in theater.
Right, right. And so that's how I came across the combat support hospitals there and realized I did still want to go into nursing, which had kind of always been a dream of mine. And so that's when I decided to come home and go back to school and become an Army nurse.
There's nurses are an admirable thing to do, but the nurses that are operating in theater like that is, I mean, nursing is high stress as it is. That's even higher stress.
It is. And you are, as a Army nurse, you are the service member's family while they're there. It's not like at home where your family can visit you in the hospital.
Yeah.
So you're not only their nurse, but you're also their your fellow service members. You're their family. You're everything for them at that moment.
Do you think that's what led you to, because being there and seeing that, those people are obviously treating wounds we can see, but they're in a way counseling. Right?
Right.
And dealing with people's mental health.
Exactly. And the two always go together.
How's that?
There's always going to be a mental health aspect. For example, if you have a wound that's life-changing, it could lead to anxiety or depression, or especially if it was a service-related injury, PTSD from the incident that caused the injury. So they always go together and they're interconnected.
You know, we mentioned before how there could be a delay sometimes. People get done and they get back home. And maybe it's been latent, but things will manifest themselves. You talk to veterans that it's 2 or 3 years sometimes before these things really start to take a toll on them.
Exactly. A lot of times you don't see the anxiety, the stress, the PTSD, until you have some sort of major life event or a life crisis and your body reacts to that, such as, you know, job change or some change in your family. And it can take you back to that moment of when you're in the service of not having control over your situation at that time. And that's when you start seeing some of those symptoms.
Like, and let's talk about those for veterans themselves, or like so many things we talk about. Those of us that are our friends and loved ones or veterans, what do you watch out for? What are signs?
One of the biggest signs is any kind of obvious personality change, whether it be withdrawing from the family. That's always a big one. If you notice sudden onset of anxiety or depression, it can be external things such as increased use of alcohol or drugs. Those are always good warning signs. And obviously thoughts of harm to self.
Mm-hmm.
You want to, you know, assess if they're having any kind of suicidal thoughts.
Yeah, and that, you know, this is something I learned from my friends who are vets and the group surrounding, that
for us that are loved ones or friends, asking it, you know, I thought asking for a long time. I was like, don't ask. That'll put the idea in their head. And that got shut down for me because my people said, by the time you ask, they thought it's okay to ask.
Right. Because sometimes it's very hard to come out and tell somebody that you're having those thoughts. And so sometimes if somebody just asks you the question and they feel comfortable around you, they'll be more likely to open up because they know that by asking the question, you're ready to receive that answer and you're ready to help.
So, I mean, that part of it is, yeah, because, I mean, veterans that haven't asked for help, maybe this is the catalyst to get them to ask for help.
Right. Exactly.
And what's available mental health wise? Like, what do y'all do for veterans at Alta Point? Like, maybe walk me through a scenario of here's different paths you can take.
The first step would be to call the Access to Care line, and you would be set up for just a basic intake. And from there, you'll meet with a mental health professional. And there's so many different programs out there if you need help with, you know, establishing therapy or needing to be put on medications. We can help with more social aspects such as housing. We have a program to help patients and veterans find jobs. So there's all kinds of different programs out there for the vets, but it takes that first phone call.
You know, some of the things you mentioned too, watching, those are curative in their own way. Talk about the job thing, and I've watched this. It becomes y'all's mission.
Right.
Right. Y'all are tuned in, like every vet I know. It's about mission. And you find the right job, that becomes mission. Is that fair? Like somebody who comes home and they don't have something to do, it leaves them in a very dark place. All of a sudden they get a job and that they feel it's a mission. And you see that, like, that changes their outlook.
It does. Everyone needs some sort of purpose. And whether that's a job or family, you know, military members, we're used to keeping schedules and having accountability and needing to be there for other people. So in that way, we want to be busy. We want to be needed. So job opportunities are crucial. Also, it helps build the service member back up, letting them know there are things they can do outside of the military. There's jobs on the civilian side that sometimes they can use their military skills in order to do those civilian jobs.
Okay. So you mentioned Access to Care line. Somebody's riding down the road, but what would they Google or something, like if they didn't, you know, they're not sitting here scribbling stuff down, Mary. What are they?
Right. If you just Google Alta Point Access to Care, the main page will come up and it'll have on our website, it'll have the phone number right there. It'll also list 988 and other emergency numbers. The suicide hotline is 988. So a lot of important information there.
Okay, so you check them out there, and I appreciate your service and your continued service.
I appreciate you having me. Thank you.
Mary Lee, U.S. Army veteran and a member of the team at Alta Point Health. Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next. See you tomorrow.